ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर नंबर 12 टेक्स्ट नंबर 3 एंड 4। ये तु अक्षरं अनिर्देश्यं अव्यक्तं पर्युपासते सर्वत्र गम अचिन्त्यं च कुटस्थं अचलं ध्रुवं संयम्य इन्द्रियग्रामं सर्वत्र समबुद्धयः ते प्राप्नुवन्ति माम् एव सर्वभूत हिते रताः। ये त्वक्षरमं निर्देश्यम् अव्यक्तं पर्युपासते सर्वत्र गम अचिन्त्यं च कूटस्थम् अचलं ध्रुवम् संयम्येन्द्रियग्रामम् सर्वत्र समबुद्धयः ते प्राप्नुवन्ति मामेव सर्वभूतहिते रताः। ये त्वक्षरमनिर्देश्यम् अव्यक्तं परिपासते सर्वत्र गम अचिन्त्यं च कूटस्थम् अचलं ध्रुवम् संयेन्द्रियं ग्रामम् सर्वत्र समबुद्धयः ते प्राप्नुवन्ति मामेव सर्वभूतहिते रताः। ये त्वमक्षरमनिर्देश्यम् अव्यक्तं पर्युपासते सर्वत्र गमचिन्त्यं च कूटस्थम् अचलं ध्रुवम् संयेन्द्रियं ग्रामम् सर्वत्र समबुद्धयः ते प्राप्नुवन्ति मामेव सर्वभूतहिते रताः। ये दोषु तो बट अक्षरं That which is beyond the perception of the senses, anirdeshyam, indefinite, avyaktam, unmanifested, paryupasate, completely engaged in worshipping, sarvatragam, all pervading, achintyam, inconceivable, cha also, kutastham, unchanging, achalam, immovable, dhruvam, fixed, sanyamya, controlling, indriyagramam, all the senses, sarvatra, everywhere, samabuddhayaha, equally disposed, they, prapnuvanti, achieve, mam, me, eva, certainly, sarva bhuta hite, for the welfare of all living entities, rataha, engaged, Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. But those who fully worship the unmanifest, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all, at last achieve me. Those who do not directly worship the Supreme Godhead, Krishna, but who attempts to achieve the same goal by an indirect process, also ultimately achieve the same goal, Sri Krishna. After many births, man of wisdom seeks refuge in me, knowing that Vasudeva is all. When a person comes to full knowledge after many births, he surrenders unto Lord Krishna. If one approaches the Godhead by the method mentioned in this verse, he has to control the senses, render service to everyone, and engage in the welfare of all living entities, all beings. It is inferred that one has to approach Lord Krishna, otherwise there is no perfect realization. Often there is much penance involved before one fully surrenders unto Him. In order to perceive the Super Soul within the individual soul, one has to cease the sensual activities of seeing, hearing, tasting, working, etc. Then one comes to understand that the Supreme Soul is present everywhere. Realizing this, one envies no living entity. He sees no difference between man and animal because he sees soul only, not the outer covering. But for the common man, this method of impersonal realization is very difficult. Om Adhyanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathamitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastade Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sate Devi Pranamami Shri Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yatva Aksharam Anidishyam Avyaktam Paryupasate Sarvatragam Achintyam Cha Kutastham Achalam Dhruvam Sanyamyendriya Gramam Sarva Trasamabuddhayah Te Prapnuvanti Mameva Sarva Bhutahite Rataha. But those who fully worship the unmanifest, that which lies beyond the perception of senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, by controlling various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engage in welfare of all, at last achieve me. So here, Lord Sri Krishna says that the initial aspect of the Absolute Truth, which is known to the impersonalists, those who do not have faith on the personality aspect of Lord Sri Krishna as Bhagavan, ultimately they will also get chance to surrender to me, but it will take hell of a time. After many, many births, Bahunam Janmanamante, Gyanavam Mam Prapadyante, Vasudevam Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlapa. The general inclination for the Jnanis is not to surrender to Krishna. Rather, they will defend their position unlimitedly. So therefore, it takes many, many human births. Even though they are pious, they are on the path of absolute truth, but because it is partially realized, something is slipped away on the way, and they miss the target. Because for whoever is manifested, unmanifested impersonal conception is extremely difficult to contemplate on. When you are manifest, how could you ever possibly conceive the unmanifest? Unless you have the strong opposite desire. Strong opposite desire is called enviousness. Strong opposite desire is enviousness. It's little desire. But it can be very, very strong if it is in opposition of Lord Shri Krishna's desire. So you can see that the misuse of minute independence by the living entity is by exhibiting a separate desire from Lord Shri Krishna. So can you imagine how much stronger it would be? Even a tiny living entity can exhibit that desire, which is completely opposite to Krishna's desire. So, even though it is path of absolute truth, but because it is not fully realized, it is partially realized. Because it is the realm of transcendence, and it is unqualified light, or a kind of effulgence, or a kind of enlightenment that one receives from it. This enlightenment is inconceivable. It is even unexplainable. Now, the same thing has been taught about a tiny soul in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Achintyoyam avikaryoyam adahyoyam achedyoyam akledyoyam asosya evacha sarvagataha sthanur achaloyoyam. These are the description of the soul in the second chapter. That it is inconceivable. It cannot be mutated. It is immutable. And it is simultaneously sarvatra gama. It can go everywhere. The super soul or the impersonal aspect, which is all-pervading aspect, omnipresent aspect, this aspect is of impersonal Brahma Jyoti too. Brahma Jyoti is the source of the tiny souls in ordinary circumstances, where these differences in the desire can exist. The differences in the desire of a living entity with the Supreme can exist on in the realm of impersonal absolute truth, but not with the personality aspect, where you have to obey the command of the Supreme and you are willing to obey. Even though if you have your own desire, or no desire at all. Desire to have four kinds of liberation in Vaikuntha, it's our own. But it is not against the desire of the Lord, because He wants to award those liberations in Vaikuntha. And what to speak of akama means no desire at all, only save and accept of Lord Shri Krishna's desire. That will be in Goloka Vrindavan. So, these possibilities are only in the personality aspect in Vaikuntha and Goloka. But an impersonal aspect, the desire can immediately change. So, because the living entity sarvatra ga goes everywhere, it can freely transport himself from Goloka Vrindavan to Vaikuntha and Vaikuntha to even Brahmajyoti level. So, but at Brahmajyoti level he slips away. He can go down. It is specifically said, sarva bhuta hite rataha. These living entities are benevolent. Those who are on the path of Absolute, whether they are impersonalist or personalist, they are benevolent for the welfare of others. Because they can see others are suffering in gross material existence. But at the same time, impersonalists can become puffed up. But the personalists have to become humble and meek. Impersonalists do not care about humility. Rather, they are so proud that they will not bow down in front of the Lord in the temple. They will stand because they see at par or something superior than the deity. This is the slip away, the misconception that follows an impersonal aspect. So the idea is that Krishna is telling that ultimately they will come. Ultimately, at last. Srila Prabhupada specified, at last, finally, they will come. Because there are chances that even though in impersonal conception they will get frustration. Srimad Bhagavatam tells that they will fall down. But because they are benevolent, they will end up taking welfare activities in for general humanity. And then still envy to the Supreme Lord will make them try to see the Lord everywhere in everyone by misconception that they can make everyone Narayani, the Ridra Narayani. They are the one to coin such terminology. They do not care for the personality aspect. Rather, they say everyone is a Narayana, even a Daridra Narayana. But they want to do the benevolent activity because they pity on this Daridra Narayans. So, it is totally a misconceived idea. Therefore, only after many, many human births, when a jnani, when the person in knowledge in impersonal aspect of the Absolute Truth, when he surrenders, knowing that Vasudevam Sarvamiti, then and then he is called Mahatma. Otherwise, he is still Duratma because he is envious of Krishna. Mahatma. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivin prakritim ashrita. Bhajanti mananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. The Mahatmas are one who are under the direct shelter of divine energy, antaranga shakti, or internal potency of the Lord, means the transcendental potency. They are taking shelter of only transcendental energy, not material energy. They will respect material energy, but whatever material energy around them is want to employ in the service of the Supreme Lord. So naturally, one can use his body, mind, intelligence, anything in service of Krishna. What to speak of engaging his family members or friends, relatives, even the whole nation. So, they are Mahatma. So Bhagavatam tells for the impersonalists who think that they have attain Brahma Sayujya or equivalent position with the impersonal aspect, they fall down. Yanyera Ravindaksha Vimuktamanina Tai Astabhava Avishuddha Buddhaya Aruhya Krichena Paramatam Patantiyada Anadat Yushmadangraya. My dear Lord, because they have not taken shelter to your lotus feet, however they have reached to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti thinking that they are having the highest position, parampadam, but patantiyada, because without shelter, how are they going to suspend themselves or support them? They need to hold something. Where the equanimity by qualitativeness of achintyam, avikaryam, ityadi, to the Brahma Jyoti level, when everything is the same, who supports whom? Brahma Jyoti is a source and it is coming from Lord Shri Krishna. It, ultimately Lord Krishna is supposed to support. Brahma Jyoti itself is a hanging medium. You cannot hang out there. You cannot hang out. How long can you hang out? How long can you swim in the ocean? You have to sink. Right? So Brahma Jyoti is also indefinitely, so much expanded realm. Indefinitely expanded realm. Here it is said that the word is used. Anityam. Anirdeshyam. Anirdeshyam. There is no specific direction. Means it's without direction. Where you cannot find any direction, means it is indefinite. Brahma Jyoti is so vast. It is all pervading throughout the Vaikuntha Loka and penetrating through the material. It is so vast that there are no directions. Only the directions are in the material world. So, one has to still go through very rigorous exercise to achieve the impersonal conception, and that takes long, long time. To come to know that there is some supreme thing is there, it takes long, long time. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschidatiti siddha. Out of thousands of people, hardly one tries to make this life perfect. And out of all perfected beings, hardly anybody knows Lord or the something supreme. Krishna says, me. But one cannot know him directly without coming to the personal aspect. But these impersonalists, they have also to control the senses because they need contemplation through their intelligence. So naturally, dharana, the faculty of meditation, by a proper conception of the absolute nature must be there. And they are picking up partially realized faculty. Is through knowledge only, and not by any other aspects of Paramatma or which has form or the personality directly. So naturally, when they come to the temple, they are out of place. And even such people who are impersonalists, when they are invited, thinking that they are great sadhus. Sometimes people offer them to speak. But Prabhupada says, listen to him and you'll find it out. But he is an offender. Even in the temple, right in the front of the temple, I mean, in the deities, you know, he will say, oh, Krishna is impersonal. Krishna is simply the name, but after all, one has to surrender to the soul who is speaking through that person. You know, it happened in 1979 in Chicago. I was president for 1 month. And Morarji Desai, at that time, he just resigned from the prime minister, you know, when Indira Gandhi came. But Samuel Hurst, the tabloid giant, you know, in New York, he wrote a book, I mean, they published in the newspaper, where Morarji Desai seemingly took some bribe in some kind of scandal. So Morarji Desai, yeah, and Morarji Desai happened to be very Gandhian principled person, and he filed a lawsuit in 1979. And actually the court case was going on in Chicago, so he came for deposition. He had his lawyer, Kapil Sibal. He is now in the ministry, you know, in the Congress. So both of them came, and I had to warn the devotees. Kalki was my, at that time, assisting, but I was supposed to be replaced by him. That was the scheme. So, so what happened, when I heard that Morarji Desai is coming, and Indian community, especially Gujarati community, they wanted him to speak before Kishore Kishori, I warned them. I said, no way. You can't give him any seat. At least not Vyasasam. If you want to give him a chair, probably he will sit down, but he will always stand up and speak. And he said, we already invited, what can we do? And we have to keep the Indian community silent, because at that time it was little uproar through the Indian community that another Indian president was removed and I was replaced because I was an Indian. Subhavila, he's here. Yeah. He's here. He's still there, right? Good. But anyway, this this was the situation. So I told them that he will insult the deity. So what can you do? I said, be prepared to close the curtain. So really, within 1 minute, he said something. And I said, close down, come on. You know. Then he went on talk. He said, Krishna is impersonal. This is nothing but stone, statue. You know, it's for neophyte devotees. And he was thinking he was a good devotee himself, but he did not know any devotional service himself. He was writing a book, and he wanted his son to make a movie on Krishna. He was writing on Krishna. And unfortunately, nothing came out. And he lived for 99 years and passed away without the century. Anyway, that was the situation, that impersonalists, that they are dead against accepting anything. They won't sit down, they won't bow down, they will stand up. So anyway, the impersonalists have the very envious attitude to negate the personality aspect of Lord Shri Krishna, not knowing what this personality is constituted. So, they get hard time by Krishna too. Bahunam janmanamante. Okay, go in the rotation of repeated birth and death. You are thinking of absolute fine, but because you have envious mentality, alright, keep on coming on the human birth, who is nothing but a violator of not only natural laws, but he will try to defy everything. You know, he is a lawless person. He wants to defy the laws of the Lord. He wants to defy the laws of the government, laws of the whole material nature. You know. So the idea is that they are given human birth. But at the same time, unless and until, according to Haridas Thakur, says, unless and until a devotee influences such impersonalist, a pure devotee, he may try out of his frustration, you know, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and then can elevate through the Agyat Sukruti and then come to the platform of pure devotional service. So, this is an important aspect of the impersonalists. They may come, they have an opening. You know, because they have accumulated enough pious activity by the welfare of others, even though misguided, or they may misguide others too. So that can keep on going. But nonetheless, you know, it's the nature of the absolute, which is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, that they are trying to achieve through dint of knowledge. Dint of knowledge, not by practical service. So, how important it is to listen to the direct talk of transcendental service to the Lord, even the one is illiterate. If one performs, how one can perform who is illiterate? Only previous lives, Agyat Sukruti, can make them enter into the direct service of the Lord. This is all indirect. But anyone who performs direct service with or without knowledge of the absolute truth will get the same result of the going back home, back to Godhead. Because if it is pure devotional service, then it will generate causeless detachment and knowledge. So knowledge is not a prerequisite for worshipping the Supreme Lord or to go back home, back to Godhead. It's not a prerequisite. It comes. We never hear that gopis have gone to the school. They never attended any school. But yet they were knowledgeable, more knowledgeable than Uddhava about the absolute truth. And knowing the position of Lord Shri Krishna too. But in front of Krishna, they never exposed this knowledgeability because it was immaterial, useless. So, the soul has to attain that position of knowledgeability. Position of knowledgeability, which is called kutastha. Immutable, unchangeable, unshakable. That position must be attained. Either you gain through the impersonal knowledge or gain through completely illiterate but pure devotional service. It will come. So therefore, the devotees are always at advantage, you know, over the impersonalist. Only thing that we have to tolerate and let them go by. Never agitate them. They will come, But never agitate them. Let them go by. Just feed them prasadam. They don't need anything except devotional service. Eating Krishna prasadam is also a devotional service. They never worship. They worship unmanifest Brahman. Krishna said, ultimately they will come to me and they will take a hell of a time to come. Hell of a time. There are so many such conceptions, not only impersonal, but even Paramatma, that will also take quite a rugged journey, you know, through so many disciplines of Ashtanga Yoga. And those who are even Sahajiya or those who are in the Raganuga Bhakti, they also tread a very, very rough path. Because even those who are direct worshippers with all their filial affections, means all their bodily conception, you know. Everything about devotional service will take its own time to purify their existence. But at the same time, to get rid of this three modes of material nature, it's extremely difficult. So even though they are devotees in one way, they are not on pure aspect of devotional service. They're sahajiyas. They are wasting their time in one way. But at the same time, Haridas Thakur says that the sthayi bhava will happen only after several yugas. Yuga means, oh my God, how many millions of human birth will come through? These are called Vaishnava priors. They think they are Vaishnava, but you know, they do not care to become purified through the effects of the three modes of material nature. They don't. So in this way, there are various types of people. They execute their own desires to worship the Supreme Lord indirectly, directly, going through rough way, this way or that way. And ultimately, they get an opportunity. But the most opportunity giver is a pure devotee of the Lord, who is compassionate on all of these sections of the, those who are worshippers. All of these sections. So, Krishna tells here that ultimately they will achieve me. It doesn't mean that this path is recommended. In evaluation of pure devotional service, nothing stands. These are all waste of time. We have in Kali Yuga very limited time framework to at least try to give up the effects of the three modes of material nature. Nobody wants to even tolerate inconveniences, what to speak of, come out of the effects of the subtle effects of the base modes, Rajogun and Tamogun. The process here, it is perfect according to the design that it's intended for, a quick, expedited result. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is famous for. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave chanting of the holy name, which is such a powerful method to purify the three modes of material nature. The holy name is purifying the three modes of material nature and brings the soul on the platform of transcendence directly. So that is a direct service. That's really a shortcut in that sense. Otherwise, you know, we still get baffled when the moods are overpowering us and we can't make a justification. We can't make any conclusive effort. So therefore we need each other's inspiration and support, and so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu device. It is Sankirtan movement. Congregational chanting. You cannot do alone. If you do alone, you will be trapped into a very disturbing type of devotional service. Aikantiki Harir Bhakti Utpatyat Kalpate. Better get protected, verify, you know, and try to mend the path of devotional service. So, Lord Shri Krishna is answering to the question of Arjuna that what is better, worshipping him directly, you know, in his transcendental personality, or worship him impersonal, or just thinking of him. This is the 12th chapter. Means it's the beginning of Arjuna's realization that if Krishna is such a transcendental magician, he can show his Virata Rupa and then he can come back to his 400 form and then 200 form and then glorify himself about his 200 form. So ultimately he is telling that from unmanifest he is better to be worshipped in manifest state. You know? But he was confused that if Krishna is doing so gigantic work to annihilate all that is present on the field of Kurukshetra except five, then who is doing that? Who is doing means who was active? Who was active? Or who should be getting the credit? Here is the person. He is not going to take up any weapon. I have to fight, he says. But I'm not sure whether I have to get. I'm just trying to fight on for the sake of fight. He's getting up his mind now. First he has to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Alright, fine. But still all the functionalities have to be undertaken by his energies. So there is a story coming up, and I don't know which Puran it is, but those who are devotees of Khatu Shyam, they tell that it is in some Puran, they quote, in Mahabharata also, that when the war was going to begin and this Bhagavad Gita was not spoken, prior to that something happened, you know. A young lad with only three arrows in his quiver, he was riding in a very nice horse and was coming between the two armies. The conch shell has not been blown from the either party. And Lord Krishna was observing. So Krishna knew who this could be. So Krishna alone came from his chariot, walking all the way up to the lad and said, "Who are you? Why are you here? On whose side are you going to fight?" The lad said, "The guys who are going to lose, I'm going to fight on their side. Those who are going to lose, I'm going to fight on their side." I said, "Why do you have only three? What can you do, you know?" "Well, with one shot, I can penetrate all the leaves of this banyan tree. means hundreds and thousands of, you know, leaves. And he said, this is good enough. If I can do that, I can wipe out the winners in no time. So, then what are these two rest for? And he said, never mind. I can, you know, just keep it. But I think one is good enough. If you want to, show my practice, I can wipe out a tree's leaves and make it fall down. And really, he shot one. And all the leaves fell off. So Krishna said, wow, well done, well done. Now tell, who should I use the second for? Krishna is asking, you can show your prowess something more important than this feat. Because one is good enough to show your victory. Say, yes, I can show, but let the war begin. And then I'll do. And Krishna understood, and he said, the war is not going to begin. He said, why? Because we require some sacrifice. Oh, you are not getting any sacrifice? Yes, no. So, okay. I'll keep one. But one was enough. So, I had a spare. Why don't I sacrifice? You want it? I will do it. So, he cut off his own head. And the Krishna blessed the head. He said, now I'm going to place you on the high hill so you can watch the war. And whoever the winner is, I will bring to you to make a final judgment that who is the winner. So, when the war was over, suddenly Arjun was boasting his prowess, Bhima was his, and everybody was thinking that it is due to them the war was being won. So Krishna interceded, well, it cannot be. Then tell, who would be? Who is the real winner? And he said, let's go. I have our esteemed, judge. He has been watching all this. Then they came to the head and they realized this was Babruvahan, Arjun's son with Ulupi from Brahmadesh. You know, nobody invited him to fight. But he was so much powerful that he could really be the winner. But Krishna wanted, him to see and not interfere in the... Otherwise, he could have made a lot of havoc. So, he said, do you realize? He says, yes. He is immortal. So, Babu, tell, who is the real winner? He says, nobody except the one I saw. And that was Kali, Chandiga. She was very, very active in her performance. You know? This is the Maya. The Maya was highly active during the time of the war in Kurukshetra. And Krishna was directing her. Otherwise, so many intricacies in the war has been going on. Politics, and then treacheries of Ashwatthama, and so many things were going on. But this is the story, they say. So Krishna finally blessed Babru, your head will become Shalagram Shila and you will be worshipped. So they call Khatu Shyam, it's just before Bikaner, and Jaipur Bikaner Road. People go there, they worship him. It's a Shalagram Shila. I went one time. But anyway, I don't know the authenticity of the story much, but they quote some Purana. They say in Mahabharata, there are some passages coming, and the other one, I think one of the Puranas there. But anyway, all these different paths leading to the absolute truth, which may give partially realization, you know, impersonal, Paramatma, but Bhagavan is the ultimate, because one has to see, you know, who is the mastermind behind. He may not directly involve, it doesn't mean that he has to become impersonal. That is his freedom. His swarat, tene brahma radaya adikave. His swarat, abhigya, he is always aware. Omniscient personality of God. So that is Lord Shri Krishna. And he is telling that those who are dealing with impersonalism or localized aspect, they should be also respected, but they will take their time. It's not a direct service, it's indirect. Just like even the worshipper of demigods are also indirect worshippers. So, anybody has any question, they want me to go. Oh. To save our own devotional service through proper Vaishnava etiquette, are we supposed to offend anybody or give all respect to others? How will it be possible? It doesn't mean we associate closely with them. If we have our own sadhana going on and we have to do in association with the devotees and strictly, you know. So, where would we have time to get influenced by such people who may not be, say, serious, may not be having the same inclination to worship the absolute truth in personality aspect? Who may be even politicians? How much can you associate with them? We have to make our own agenda. We don't have to be influenced by them. We have to rest assured that everything is given. Everything is given. So why do we have to look for something which we even do not conceive, but somebody else conceives for us? Is this process of pure devotional service that can generate, you know, causeless knowledge? Causeless knowledge. Does it require anybody's influence to give another kind of conception? If somebody glorifies something, I mean, it's an offense to Srila Prabhupada to hear such things. If somebody gives, everything is given. And we are told that If we really worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then these two things must come. So we have to see our development on that parameter. Then Ahituki Jnana and Vairagya, they must follow. So we should become more and more detached, more and more, we will have a lot of time to give respects to others. We will have more time to think whatever Srila Prabhupada has given. It is so much available. Others may be simply wanting to attract. Unless and until you come and surrender to me, I won't give you. But there is. So people start proselytizing, canvassing, advertising. And this is what is going on as a business, enterprise, religious, spiritual enterprise. So we have to look into that. What do you think? Ego also makes it more prone to impersonalism. False ego makes the tendency of impersonalism. You think you are the only person existing, not the other guy. Who the hell cares? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to smash that. So, we have to simply tolerate the inconveniences imposed by our own mistakes or by some group mistakes or keep on getting. And they say, okay, do whatever you want, but I am here, not to go. What can you do? That's correct. Krishna takes care. He's in charge, he's in control. I'm not in control. I just want to be controlled by him and his devotees. Be my guest. Whoever wants to control, be my guest. What's that? Yeah.
Why don't they understand? Because they are also quite intelligent, all those who believe in they are knowledgeable. But why doesn't this simple thing sink into their minds? What happens to their brains?
Because it is said, Eko Bahushyam, one has manifested in many, means whoever has been manifested, they are also God and they are Him. So whomever I repose my attention or believe in Him, He is my God. And He is no different than other, your God, or what you believe. That is called pantheism. Multitude of Godheads. Right? So, when Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam, He is telling on behalf of every one of His expansions. That is what they think. He is speaking on behalf of, because it is the same tattva. Whether he is speaking on behalf of Ganesh, because Ganesh is my Lord, okay. What is the difference? He is also God, he is also God. So like that. And Mayavadi, who said that he is God himself because he expands his vision, that when everyone is God, then there is nothing exists beyond God. It means I am God. Vasudevam sarvamiti. I am Vasudev. Sarvamiti. I am Vasudev. Where from? Bhagavad Gita, sir?
Bhagavad Gita.
What does it say?
It says something without, because of something, and resolute determination to devotion, service does not take place.
Uh-huh.
What's that verse?
Okay. Samadhav navidiyate. This is Bhogeshwarya prasaktanam taya apratachetasam Vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhavna vidiyate. Those who are engrossed in sense gratificatory activities, to them resolute determination never arises. They're thinking.
It's the ultimate sense gratification.
That's
I'm
God. If I'm God, who are you to ask me anything? Who are you to question?
There's this short story about this stubbornness of the impersonalist. Prabhupada gave a story about knife and scissors. That the impersonalist, they said, no, there's no God or God is impersonal. So he's in the scissors, and the devotee is like, oh, there's no God, the person is like a knife. So, what is this lesson to the impersonalist?
That is a false ego. Is Bhogan Aishwarya, sense gratification, opulent life, extravagant life especially, and they are the two pitfalls. They make the false ego always active, because that enjoying buddhi purusha, buddhi. A purusha, Krishna is explaining that one who has a sense of enjoyment is called purusha. Actually, he is the only purusha. And everything which is manifesting out of his energy, that is prakriti. Prakriti is supposed to be female. By gender, Prakriti is female, right? But that mentality of enjoying is in the gender bias also. Every living entity coming under the gender bias, whether it is male against female, that enjoying capacity is there, enjoying mentality is there. So this is called Purusha. Purusha prakriti sthopi bhunte prakriti jahan guna. Krishna tricked him through maya that actually he enjoys only the interactions of the modes, but he does not have actual object in his hand. Because it is a product of the three modes of material nature, it is going to slip him away. The soul can never be satisfied by the product of three modes of material nature because it's completely opposite characteristics. So who makes him think even for some time that he is enjoying? That is a false ego. False ego is the first manifestation over the soul to bewilder him, and it is the product of more of ignorance. Therefore, Lord Shiva is in charge of false ego. He is the predominant deity of false ego. And false ego, before interaction of any kind of enjoyment activity takes place, it covers him with that he has come to enjoy here, not to be enjoyed. So whether in male body or female body, this false ego is the real dictator. So everybody is entering into the realm of Bhogeshwarya Prasaktana. Then Taya Aprata Chetasam, whatever his remembrance is stolen away. To them, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadhavana Vidyate. The eternal occupation of the soul in Goloka Vrindavan never arises. And if it is arising, little bit, maybe a little of Vaikuntha level, then again with the proclivities, the desires of having Sarsti Mukti, Samipya Mukti, Salokya Mukti, and Sarupya Mukti. That desire is still existing in Vaikuntha Loka. And beyond that, the one who thinks that Brahma Sayujya is, and then who wants to go to the Swarga Loka, the pious, foolishly pious people, and then grossly engaged in the material activities. So, the soul, why the soul even desires to go to Vaikuntha, and why the pure devotee doesn't want to go to Vaikuntha even? So, up to the material level, false ego works. But then the misconception of the absolute in enmity, it is still existing. So they will think that Brahma Sayujya is best. But then the Sakam Bhaktas who want to worship Lord Narayan and achieve Vaikuntha Loka with four kinds of desires fulfilled. Krishna is fulfilling that too, in that form. And one has to come out from even that conception to simply serve the Lord according to His terms. That is sarva dharmana parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Otherwise, aren't these people also taking His shelter somehow or another, somewhere? Mama vartamanu vartante manushya partha sarvasa. This is the real pathway chalked out by Lord Sri Krishna. And whoever is sitting at that with that particular desire attains that particular result. So in the material platform, false ego is there, where Lord Shiva is in charge. But beyond the Virja, false ego is not there. But the fulfillment of desire according to Lord Krishna, according to the living entity, is available. And Krishna fulfills the desire there too. But in Goloka Vrindavan, we go only to fulfill Krishna's desire, nobody else's, not ours. Ours will be automatically fulfilled if we fulfill Krishna's desire. That is pure emotional service. Isn't it? This is the pathway. Alright, thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.